Good morning. Wake up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, better known as Quest Community Vibrations. And of course, Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. Now, music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So I want to say thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, today's broadcast begins with both of our student hosts, Walter Pierce and Justin Hill. Walter starts his diamond of the week focusing on Samuel L. Jackson. Now, Justin compares the ideologies of Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. Next, they both provide us with the definition segment, side hustle, being the two words being defined, and the word idea. Then we round out our program with the curtain segment on Dana Elaine Owens, better known as Queen Latifah. Now, without any further ado, I want to say good morning, first of all, and turn it over to our student host, first, Walter Pierce. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Now, history is like a diamond. Each prison represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, again, my diamond segment for this week is on Samuel L. Jackson. And see, Jackson was influenced by films that displayed messages about black culture, and when he attended the all-black college, Morehouse College in Atlanta, Jackson became involved in the Black Power movement. After the 1968 assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., Jackson attended the funeral in Atlanta as one of the ushers. Jackson then flew to Memphis to join an equal rights protest march. In a parade interview, Jackson revealed that he was angry about the assassination, but he wasn't shocked by it. He knew that change was going to take something different, not sit-ins, not peaceful coexistence. He was expelled his junior year for participating in protests that involved locking members of the board and trustees in two buildings for 2 days. That same year, Jackson watched a performance by the Negro Ensemble Company and gained a new inspiration, acting. After working as a social worker for 2 years in Los Angeles, Jackson returned to Morehouse to pursue the study of acting and received his degree in 1972. Jackson started to become popular after his role in the Spike Lee film, Jungle Fever, in 1991, where he played a crack addict. Though playing an on-the-screen drug actor, Jackson actually faced them off the screen as well. But the success of his acting career led to him moving away from that type of path in his life and continuing to be a box office star. In 187, he played a role dedicated teacher striving to leave an impact on his students. He received an Independent Spirit Award for that film as well. And Samuel L. Jackson also worked to establish other actors such as Sharon Stone and Dustin Hoffman, and Spear and Kevin Spacey in The Neighborhood, playing a hostage negotiator who resorts to taking hostages himself when he's falsely accused of murder. In 1999, Jackson starred in the horror film Deep Blue Sea as a Jedi Master in George Lucas' Star Wars. And you know, the most famous, probably the most famous thing that Samuel L. Jackson played in was, of course, the movie where he played the head coach of a basketball team that struggled a lot with inner city violence and just a lot of struggles that the team had. And what he has done with the team is he helped bring them up and lead them to win a championship, which was a very inspiring movie. And nowadays, you know, he participated in multiple Marvel movies as well, one including the TV series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And that concludes my segment on what I have for Samuel L. Jackson. And, you know, just to add a little bit more on to the segment, you know, he gives all his credit, really, to, you know, Morgan Freeman as a mentor. You know, Morgan Freeman gave him encouragement and advice that helped Jackson make his acting dream a reality. And, you know, also the election of President Barack Obama as well gave him motivation, as he says that we now have a representative in office, a person who grew up with the same conditions like we did, which was Barack Obama. So, you know, somebody like Samuel Jackson, even though he is regarded as probably one of the greatest screen actors of all time, you know, he still had people that helped him out throughout the way, and he sees as mentors for his success. So, you know, we got to give shout out to Samuel Jackson. He's also a very active philanthropist as well. He's donated and invested in Alzheimer's research, mainly to the fact that people in his family actually experienced Alzheimer's. So he wanted to, you know, make a change and help give back to that. He's also invested his time and money into numerous other foundations, and he has accumulated a net worth over $1 billion. So as you can see here, Samuel Jackson, probably one of the greatest screen actors of all time, doing all these type of things. And yeah, that concludes what I have again for Samuel L. Jackson. You are tuned in to 89.5 WSOU with student host Walter Pierce.
Through the wasting, there's no
vibrations. And now it's time to bring on our next student host, Mr. Justin Hill. Good morning, Justin. Take it away. Okay, so we just lost Justin. So what I'd like to do is bring in our other callers on the line, right? And Tanisha, I'm coming to you first. You know, talk to us, first of all. Good morning, Tanisha. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Oh, okay. How's everybody doing? Yeah.
Well, I'm sure everybody's fine. They're on the line. And I want to ask you, what is your take on Samuel L. Jackson and, you know, Walter's segment?
It was definitely a good segment. I like Samuel L. Jackson. He plays in a lot of good movies. I don't know. I don't really have too much to say about Samuel L. Jackson. Like I said, I like his movies. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, myself, I have plenty of jokes about Samuel L. Jackson, which I have to keep to myself because they're definitely inappropriate for this particular show, right? Now, we're going to come back around. Justin, good morning.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. For today, my diamond segment will be on W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Both Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois was born in the same era. Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois had different views on how African Americans should pursue equality in America. Booker T. Washington was born into slavery in 1856. He believed that black people should control our own money to gain equality. He also founded Tuskegee in 1881, which still operates today. W.E.B. Du Bois was born in 1868 into a free black family. He did not experience bigotry until college. That sparked a desire to fight for equal rights for African Americans. And that concludes my segment on diamonds.
Okay. All right. That being said, first of all, I want to say great job. And now I want to swing it back over to Walter. Walter, your little brother just did the two different ideologies, and I just want to know what you think.
Yeah, it was a very good segment. You know, somebody like Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, of course, had very good ideas of how they wanted for African Americans to go about succeeding and growing in this country. And even though they were very different and they usually clash at each other, there's not always going to be one way that people are going to believe everything is going to work. There could be multiple ways that things are going to work. You know, Booker T. Washington wanted for African Americans to pull up from their bootstraps and basically go out and get it themselves and don't rely on anybody else for assistance. And for that, you know, a lot of people probably disagree and probably believe that since African Americans were already such at a disadvantage, that was impossible. You know, for some people, that would actually work for people. But also, somebody like W.E.B. Du Bois believed that the opposite, that we should and we need help from being Americans for us to be able to grow and get standing in this country, since we're already so brought down because of slavery and all of that in society. So just summary, really, it's just two great men who had two different ideologies and who wanted the best for African Americans in this country.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I want to go to our Black librarian, Tamar. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you've heard us talk about these two gentlemen before and their two different ideologies. My question to you is simple. Can we talk about these two gentlemen enough, or have we gone overboard?
I would think that Brother Justin been tried, never denied, and willing to be tried again. So I think he passed the test. He did a great job.
I know that's right.
And I like the way Brother Walter's a stickler. He ain't playing around. But he passed the test.
Sounds like you know what's going on behind the scenes. Okay.
Brother Walter's gonna be a good businessman. He's gonna keep his staff in check.
Of course, none of this has anything to do with the two different ideologies, right? Thank you. Don't you go anywhere, right? Let me come back. I'm going to Mr. Harris, right? Mr. Harris, give me your take on what's going on here. Can we talk about these two gentlemen enough, or have we gone, is it just too much?
Yeah, well, first thing, good morning. And I think it's important that we understand what was going on in the past, and seeing if we've made any strides since then. You know, to repeat something is not necessarily to stay in that moment, you know, because, like, both of them had great ideas. But because of Booker T. Washington's background coming from hard work and during his time as a slave, and Booker T. Washington, I mean, in a W.B. Du Bois, he never felt that trauma until he went to college at Harvard. And, you know, and it was just a different perspective, but they were both pointing in the same direction. And it's good to know where you come from. They're the roots of the tree, and it's up to us to, like, make sure the branches keep moving forward.
Okay. And, Tanisha, you're not getting off the hook. But I have a simpler question for you, right? Has this cleared up the two different ideologies about both men for you?
Yes. I guess like where everyone was saying. But at the same time, you need both because you have to be financially and mentally prepared. But at the same time, you have to be holistic. I guess the two ideologies combined together is holistic, and you have to keep building on it, because especially it was more direct in their time versus our time now, even though it's direct, but it's indirect. So it's like, how do we use their tactics in a modern way dealing with our society now? So yes, I think it's very good that we do keep talking about it, and especially we have so many different generations on a call now. And if we would combine our ideas together, that would be just as powerful.
Okay. That sounds good to me. My final words on this particular topic for the moment is that the lesson that we take away here is that we, even though we might agree to disagree, and we must learn to agree to disagree, we must still work together in unity in order to defeat the task at hand. And that word, Justin, that thing is bigotry and hatred. As we continue, love is the message. I love music.
I love you.
we're back, and I'm going to move right on in by saying that I'm going to take a moment to say mental illness is so important, and if you are on some type of dependency of drugs, there's a 1-800-662-4357 number that you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, in just regular conversation, we see more and more people who've been pushed to the side into the margin. And as a result, the level of depression and the level of mental illness has definitely gone up, not just for adults, but also for our teenagers and our children. It seems that even before the pandemic, we had issues in our society, but it's been even more compounded today. And so that being said, I want to tell everybody that's in within the sound of my voice that there is help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by calling the 1-800-662-4357 hotline. That's 1-800-662-4357. And quickly, Walter, please explain to the audience why it's important for us to be aware of mental illness and substance abuse today.
Yes, and the reason is because in our society, in our community, we have been reluctant to talk about these issues. And one thing that we're trying to work towards is having better communication for our mental health, for drug abuse and all of that. So when we give out these numbers and you believe that you need the assistance, make sure you reach out to the numbers or reach out to a close one or loved one so that you could get the help you need.
Okay, thank you for my assistance on the assist. I appreciate that. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, but more importantly, particularly you adults out there, and I choose you adults because you're never too old to learn. There's nothing worse than someone walking around who knows everything, because when you're green, you're growing, and when you're grown, you're rotten. And I quote Leroy Wilson III. That being said, this particular Aesop fable is titled The Bear and the Two Travelers. It seems that two men were traveling together when a bear suddenly met them on their path. Now, one of them climbed quickly into a tree and concealed himself in the branches. The other, seeing that he must be attacked, fell flat on the ground. And when the bear came up and felt him with his snout and smelt him all over, he held his breath and feigned the appearance of death as much as he could. The bear soon left him, for it is said he will not touch a dead body. When he was quite gone, the other traveler descended from the tree and jocularly inquired of his friend what it was the bear had whispered in his ear. He gave me this advice, his companion replied. Never travel with a friend who deserts you at the approach of danger. Ladies and gentlemen, people of all ages and more particularly, everybody on the panel, right, I'm going to give everybody a chance to figure out what do you think the moral of this particular story is. Oh, and starting out with Tanisha. Tanisha, what do you think the moral of the story is?
Oh yeah, I was coming. I got partial. I didn't get the other. Okay, so I have to make sure I understand. So the two.
Okay, so
the two hunters
okay,
was in the
two,
tree,
two travelers
and
on
one
the road. The bear confronts them. One climbs up a tree and conceals himself. The other one falls to the ground and pretends to be dead. Right. The bear smells him and goes about his business, right, but whispers something into his ear, right? And when the traveler comes down from the tree, he says, what did the bear say to you? And the bear said, you know, never travel with someone who will desert you in danger. So what's the moral of the story?
I guess the moral of the story is, I guess he's saying because they both was traveling I don't know. I guess that's like a catch 22, because if one was in a tree, how would he get the other one? Because he fell out the tree and he was smart enough to play dead to protect himself, because they both protected themselves at the end of the day because they didn't get eaten. So I guess the bear was telling, how do you work together? I guess that's what I get from it, unity. And in the midst of unity, you still have to be able to take care of yourself and know how to, even in the midst of danger, because they both end up saving their own lives. I guess that's what I take from it.
Yeah, well, from 3,000 feet, there are no wrong answers, okay, because they both lived through it, right? Let me just go to Walter. What do you think the moral of this particular story is?
The moral that I got from this is, if you're a true friend and you really care about somebody, you wouldn't leave them even when danger is coming your guys' way. The point of really having that relationship, I believe, is being able to trust somebody even with danger that could either harm or affect you coming your way. So you want to make sure that you stick by the side of your friend and not desert them, like I guess the bear or whatever was saying happened. You want to stick by their side.
Okay. All right. And as I said, from 3,000 feet, there are no wrong answers, right? Let's go to Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, what do you think the moral of this particular story is, this Aesop fable?
Yeah, it's to choose your friends wisely. And don't assume that just because they're with you, that they're down with you.
All right. And the Black Librarian, good morning again. What do you think the
good morning.
What do you think the moral of this particular story is?
I think that what happens is when the bear actually saw them two together, he was more inclined that he would put up a fight. And perhaps he lost his appetite when he saw his friend had left and ran up the tree. And the other person was on the ground playing dead, not actually dead, and he whispered in his ear. I agree with the bear that those were wise words that he shared with him. In the midst of danger and excitement, you want to be with that person. You want to be there. You want to share in the danger. So if we go together. The bear was disinclined because there was no sense of collective fight. So in that they didn't fight collectively, he says, I'm not putting up a fight because it's not worth his while. Why would I fight you if you're already showing me that you're scared? I think that he wants to fight for his food. He's a hunter. And if a person is scared and you have members of your group running away, there's no need to fight. The bear wanted to for them two to put up a fight because he wanted to earn his keep. So he just told him, he said, in the future, you know, make sure you have the right person with you.
Okay. Again, from 3,000 feet, there are no wrong answers. And that being said, Justin, what do you think the moral of this particular Aesop fable is? And remember, there are no wrong answers. Justin. Okay, so we're going to, Justin, I'm going to move on, right, and just simply say to everyone, the moral that is written here says misfortune tests the sincerity of friends. I'm going to say that again. Misfortune tests the sincerity of friends. And that's to say that when the stuff hits the fan, you really see who your friends truly are, okay? When things get tough, the tough are supposed to get going. And in this case, the guy who ran up the tree did get going, but he left his friend stranded, standing there alone. Okay, so what we're going to do is go back. We're going to come back with some music, and when we come back, we're going to go to our definition segment and let our two hosts take it away. I just wanted to give a moment to get myself out of the way so the young people can do their thing.
Brother, call a girl a bitch, you're a trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring rap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down the block, I had my cut off shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes.
Who you calling?
Okay, Walter, I'm going to cut into this song and let you take it away. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for definitions. Take it away, Walter.
Yeah, and this effort provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. My definition for this week, the side hustle. Now, what is a side hustle? Now, see, a side hustle is the means of making money alongside one main form of employment or. So everybody has the main job, but the side hustle is the job that you have on the side or you have part-time. Now, you know, the reason I bring up side hustle, the why, is because if you really want to be able to maintain and grow your income, a side hustle is probably one of the best ways to do that besides your main job. And people out there have skills that allows them to even make extra income without taking up a lot of their time. So there's artists, there's musicians out there, there's people with these type of talents that sometimes you don't have to use a lot of your time to be able to be good at, but it's also another good way for you to earn an extra income and continue to grow wealth. Now, you could find these side hustles really anywhere. There's now side hustles as well, like Uber, Uber Eats, things like that. Even if you don't want to do something like using an actual talent or ability you have, you know, you can use something like simple as Uber Eats if you have a car to be able to, you know, make money like that. And there's now things with, I've seen with things like Uber Eats, DoorDash, well, which is all food delivering companies, is you don't even need a car now. There's people delivering food on bikes, on scooters, anything that allows for them for transportation. So really, the money's out there and the opportunity is out there. You know, if you just make the time for it, it could happen. And, yeah, that's what I have for my segment on Side Hustle. Again, I thank you for listening. And this is Student Host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. Now, we're going to keep it going and continue. Justin, I'd like for you to do your definition, and then after you finish, we'll come back together and discuss the two different definitions. Justin, good morning again. Take it away.
Good morning, everybody. For today, my definition segment will be on the word idea. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we can and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. In a common usage, ideas are the result of thought. Also, ideas can also be mental representational images of some object. Many have considered ideas to be a fundamental ontological category of being. The capacity to create and understand the meaning of ideas is considered to be an essential and defining feature of human beings. In a popular sense, an idea arises in a reflective, spontaneous manner, even without thinking or serious reflection. For example, when we talk about the word idea of a person or place, a new or an original idea can often lead to an innovation. And that concludes my segment on definitions.
Okay, excellent job. And you bring up some very good points there. And I want to say, Justin, a thought is just a thought until you put it to motion. And the same thing about ideas. Unless you put your idea to motion, it's just a thought. It's just an idea. But as you said in your definition, it can lead to innovation. And a lot of people have been very innovative during this particular pandemic, where they were just left with no choice, where the ability to actually go out and go to a regular 9-to-5 was pretty much, you know, with all of us in seclusion, being isolated in our homes. A lot of people had the opportunity to work from home, but there were a lot of us who didn't have that opportunity. And so the ideas had to start flowing. And I want to talk to the idea of not just innovation, but Mr. Harris, you know, sometimes people think that they're too proud to do certain things like a DoorDash. They're too proud to do anything like a side hustle, like shining somebody's shoes. They're too proud to take a pay cut and start from some level. Talk to me about that idea of having false pride. That's what it is.
Yeah, well, it really depends on who's involved in your decision. If you're just thinking about yourself, or you only have yourself as a responsibility, you can make like crazy decisions like that. But if you have to deal with your family, and you have to make sure that your kids or your wife have like a roof over their head, food in their stomach, that might lead you to make different decisions. And, you know, sometimes you have to put your pride aside, because pride is like really selfishness in a way. So we have to really stop looking at things just for ourselves and kind of put it into the perspective that maybe if I do this little thing now, it'll help me have a better stance later on when I'm ready to do something else. But that's how I look at it.
Okay. Let's bring the Black Librarian in. We talking side hustle. We talking ideas. And, you know, Mr. Bay, he had to bring in the false pride piece. What do you think, brother? Jamar. Okay, we're going to go straight to Tanisha. Tanisha, what do you think?
Hello, I'm here. I thought I'm muting my phone because I didn't want you to hear the cracks in the, I apologize.
Go right ahead.
I do my W-2 and I also do a W-4. I'm a W-9 every year. I'm a researcher. I'm always involved with doing research, whether it's copyright, helping people with copyright, trademark information, proposals. I have a website already listed, www.tadresearchconsultants. I'm always involved. I'm always negotiating deals. I help several different artists receive different distribution contracts. I'm an Uber driver. I help with trademarks. I do a lot of stuff. I mean, I do my own artwork. I have my shirts out there. I'm always involved because I have 3 kids and a wife. So during the pandemic, I wasn't really getting any money from my tenant at all. So I always had to find another hustle to stay afloat.
Okay. We did. There was no false pride there.
If I got to carry somebody bags, if I got a bad bag at C-Town, I have no problem with getting that money. As long as it's legal, I'm down for it.
Okay. You know, by example, and those examples that you gave are excellent, right, and they basically answer my question. Tanisha, what do you think? Question or comment? Take it away.
Yeah, definitely. Ideas is connected to side hustles, which side hustles, and I guess in another term, would be multiple streams of income. So you always need multiple streams of income. And I guess I go back to what Mr. Harris said. Everything is not for everybody. So what if you don't want to sign shoes? Everybody's not going to sign shoes. That's like you telling people, oh, go get a job at McDonald's. Everybody does not want to work at McDonald's. But for the ones who do, that's good because they could take it to another level, especially if you want to learn. Especially if you're in the food industry, then yes, you take it as a stepping stone. So I guess when we're telling people to get multiple streams of income, what are you good at? And then you take what you're good at, and if you want to start from the bottom, like for example, if you like the food industry, if you want to work at McDonald's, you could work as a cashier to understand how the cash flow is coming, how many customers are coming in. And then you could take it to the manager level. And then you could take it to another level where you could actually own a franchise. So it's different ways and different steps that we have to start teaching people. Like I said, everything is not for everyone, but you have to find your lane. And once you find your lane, then you'll be able to have multiple streams of income because it'd be different ways that you could get the money. Like I just said, if you do the McDonald's, your side hustle could be you could make burgers and fries at home for yourself and be able to start your own entrepreneurship or be able – then the other side hustle would be you actually invest in the stock market for McDonald's. So that's another way. And then you could do the Uber. So that's like 3 different ways, but it's still connected to your passion or what you want to do.
Right. And a lot of people are doing different things. You know, Walter, there are a lot of people who basically after the pandemic, and it's in the news every day, people have actually quit their jobs, their regular 9-to-5, to do side hustles as a way of life for themselves. And so that being said, I'm going to go back to some more music, and we'll be right back after this.
My mellow locks, he was kicking flavors. The Ari Bossy said,
Walter, you know, I didn't look at the time, so we're going to head to our next segment of Curtain, which is an exposure and analysis of artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. You see, many recording artists and companies have grown rich from the support of the community. But this segment looks into what benefits the community has gained from the artist. Curtains is a review of the musical growth in history and the impact of a particular style and genius on the general moods and attitudes of the listening audiences, musical and lyrical, and consciousness as presented by the artists over a period of time and music releases. Best, the introduction to and an expiration of a particular artist, and this morning, her genius and her involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Walter, take it away.
Thank you. And my current segment for this week is on Queen Latifah and some charities and foundations that Queen Latifah supports is the Boys and Girls Club of America, City Meals on Wheels, Common Ground Foundation, Dana Faber Cancer Institute, Generosity Water, Harry Holmberg Memorial Foundation, Keep a Child Alive, Princess Grace Foundation, and the Trevor Project. And some causes that Queen Latifah supports is AIDS and HIV, at-risk and disadvantaged youth, bullying, cancer, children, civil rights, creative arts, depression, and suicide. And, you know, we talk about these things for curtains is because it's not about what they do on the stage or how good they sing or how they perform. Curtains is just what they do outside of music. So this is the thing. It's only a few. She's done a lot more that has supported. And, you know, being a New Jersey native, you know, this is somebody that a lot of us look up to. And, you know, Queen Latifah continues to support our communities and continues to push. So shout out to her. And that concludes my on Curtain. This is host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU. And let's transition.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to transition into our closing and just have Justin come on first. Justin, what did you think about today's show? Did you like it? Any input, question, or comment? Justin, take it away.
I thought today's show was great. I learned a little about side hustles and Queen Latifah.
Okay, right. We have 0841 on the line. You got 3 seconds to make a comment or ask a question. 0841. And we have Val on the line. What did you think? Question or comment about today's show?
Comment. I never get sick of hearing about the debate between W.E.B. Du Bois and Mr. Washington. The more I hear it, the better understanding I get. Great show. Thank you. Looking forward to next week.
Okay. And we have 6778 on the line. What did you think about today's show? Question or comment?
Great show. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right. We have the Black Librarian on the line. What did you think about today's show?
Great show. Therapy,
okay,
as always.
All right, Tanisha.
I'll be at last another
you thought
week.
About today. Yeah, Tanisha, what did you think about today's show?
It was definitely a great show. We definitely have to keep the commentary going.
Okay, and Mr. Harris.
Sounds good to me. We do this every week. I love it.
All right, and Walter, close us out.
I would like to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibration, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is the best,
the best youth radio.
Give me body. My queendom. Come on.
rhythm. In spring I sing and fall, I call out to all the ones who had a hard day. I prepared a place on my dance floor, so time is now for you to party. I thought it would be a good chance for you to move. House music always soothes, so get with the flow, let's go. Yo, can you rock to a house group tempo? If so, then shall we let the games begin? What better opposition can you be in? I'm on fire, the flame's too hot to doubt. The pool is open, come into my house. Bass and treble flow through the speakers, ride the rhythm. I know it's gonna reach you. I'm the queen, Latifah. Now it's time to run through it. 45 King,
yeah, baby.
To it, yeah, there you go. I told you you could do it. Now did you enjoy it? I knew it. Dance to the beat of the drum. Give me some with the flavor unit. I come to say, ride the groove line. Don't swing the pipe bomb. Listen to the smooth line. Throw away the white line. It's a house party I'm hosting. Come and rock with the one who's chosen. He can't turn me inside out. For those who dare to come in. Come on. My madness is my rap.
My
that
rap.
Rocks this party. I'm a hijack. And jack your body. This is not an erotic interlude. Keep in mind, I move multitudes. The Asiatic black woman, hardcore beat drumming. It's hard to keep a good woman down, so I keep coming. Blow for blow, I take and I get some. Still I rise and I symbolize wisdom. I hope the lyrical display has you aroused. It's an open invitation. Come into my house.